Father, we ask this morning, we grant to everyone here position and understanding the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Thank you for clarity of thought. There's no error in this atmosphere. We have the spirit of liberty. Our faces behold Christ as he sees us in him. Amen. Hallelujah. All right, we started last week, the first and second services, very unusually. Faith in the gospel of Christ, material things, well, other things, yesterday, today, and always. Very long title. It's just good to say it like that, so it should be very clear. 2 Timothy 2:15. No matter how much results error brings, it doesn't make it true. If it's not true, it's not true. No matter how it sounds. 2 Timothy 2:15, Paul writes to Timothy, his son, and an apostle. He says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. The word study is the word spoudas, so it means be eager. In other words, be diligent, make every effort, ensure that you're walking towards this. A workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. The word rightly dividing the word of truth is just one word, is the word autotomio. Autotomio means to dig or to mine, which is relative to those who were involved in looking for something. In other words, when you hold the Bible, you begin to mine for the word of truth. The word there will be a word for preaching or message. In other words, not everything in the Bible is a message of truth. You've got to look for it. Because you can say, well, I quote from there is a message of truth, but that can't be true. Jesus came and he said, I am the truth. Praise God. John 14:6, I am the truth. So truth is a person. Praise God. John 5:39 says, you search the scriptures for them you think you have eternal life, but they will testify of me. So the word of truth there will mean that not everything in scripture is truth. In fact, I say it like this. You know, the first person who quoted God in the Bible was the devil. The first preacher. Something like that. The first person who quoted God in the Bible was Satan. So you've got to study to find out who said what. And what did who say about who. So he says, rightly dividing doesn't mean to cut things into pieces. It means to go straight so you can get the word of truth. So what's the word of truth? The word of truth is about the person of Jesus. Now, much later in that same book, chapter 3 and verse 15, the message of truth. So I said the message of truth. Now, what's the message of truth? Verse 15. Thou from a child, thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, were able to make thee wise unto salvation, through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. I've heard someone told me before, why are you teaching salvation for this long? What are you saying? I wonder. He thinks salvation is just what you preach to the unbeliever. And then the other things come in like sanctification, second work of grace, prosperity, breakthrough, break forth, step up. Step up, turn up. You know, he's confused. Paul said to Timothy, he says, from a child, you have known the scriptures, the holy scriptures, hagios gamma in the Greek, which means the holy message. Praise God. Remember we talked about the message earlier, 2 Timothy 2:15, the holy message, which are able to make thee wise. Wise, there's sophism. The Greek means someone who was skillful by the virtue of training. Unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ. In other words, what is the word of truth? Salvation through faith in Christ. Say salvation through faith in Christ. Salvation through faith in Christ. Salvation through faith in Christ. He's the message. So you have known the scriptures. That means you've rightly divided it. And so you know what the message is. You know what it is. You have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ. So salvation is not a sinner gets saved message. Salvation is the doctrine of the Old Testament. The doctrine of the Old Testament. Now, that said, let's go to, you know, last week we began to examine faith in Christ. Remember that? You remember that? Faith in Christ in the Old Testament. Remember that very well? Good. And we said, faith in Christ in the Old Testament was never for things. Praise God. You understood that last week? Raise your hand if you did. Raise your hand if you did. It's not for things. It's not for getting things. Now, that sort of, let's look at a couple of things. You know, Paul has said to Timothy here that he said the message is salvation through faith in Christ. Then, we need to understand what Jesus preached. Jesus' sermons. How did Jesus study the Old Testament? Because he said, they testify of me. So, he's going to study the Old Testament in a moment. And then let's find out how he did it. How did Jesus study the Testament? Or you say, well, maybe Jesus didn't have enough insight. I have someone who said it on television, international television. He said, Paul did not have the revelation of prosperity. Guys are bold. You know, it takes boldness to say the Holy Spirit is oil. You are bold. You know, there's some boldness that we should actually have for such people, because that's quite an unrighteous boldness. The Holy Spirit is a bottle of oil. And the thing sold across the body of Christ, both materially and emotionally. That's interesting. And the guy said, Paul didn't walk in it. Hallelujah. You know, there's some of the things you Saul rightly said this, and I agree. He said the problem is not really false teachers. It's the brethren. When you didn't have, no one sees your eyesight. Can't you just read your Bible? When you come to service without a Bible. Some of you still came this morning. To make matters worse for you, some people now put it on the screen. So it's only done on you that you have to have one. For you? Did it on the screen for you? You come to church without a Bible? What did you come to do? Were you dragged there or drugged? The basic thing, get your Bible and come to church. How much does a Bible cost? 5,000? Kidding? 300? 500? 1,000? About that. It's not even a tanner. You get a Bible, so you would not be a candidate for deception. All right, look at this. Luke's Gospel 24. I'm trying to tone down this morning. Luke's Gospel 24. That's Jesus. He's talking to his own disciples. And they were having a conversation from verse 14, there about 13. And He asked them a question in 17. He said, what manner of communication are these that you have one to another as you walk and outside? He began asking them a question. And then one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering said unto him, thou a stranger, are thou only a stranger in Jerusalem? This guy must be quite forward, you know. You know some folks here, they're just, he has a very sharp tongue. Thou hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days. Did the guy say he did not know? He just asked a question. He said something else. You know, the things which are come to pass in these days. And then Jesus answered and said unto them, in verse 19, what things? And they said to him, said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty indeed, and word before God and all the people. He's the ignorant one. He calls him a prophet. And how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and crucified him. We trusted that he had been, that he redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. You and certain women also of the company made us astonished, which were early at the, and were early at the sepulchre, where they found him not. He's just talking story. You know, imagine if he was supposed to write a book in the Bible, he would just write stories. He left the issue. And then Jesus answered to them, verse 25, oh fools, that means when you're walking in love, you have to say fool. Okay? Oh fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Those guys who preach sick and sensitive say, ah, you chase them away. No, you won't chase them away. You will bless them. Truth doesn't chase away. Truth edifies. Just old fools, slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and they enter into his glory? Remember, he asked them in 19, what things? Okay? These things and they enter into his glory. Now, when he said, what things? Okay, it's a pluralistic word. The word polos in the Greek, it means a kind in the numerals, much. So tell me what kind he was asking for specific things. Okay, they told him exactly what they were saying. So he now went to them and said, he now responded and said, verse 26, ought not Christ to have suffered these things? Okay, now, these things, which is what he said, all these things, and they enter into his glory. Recall the first thing he said, to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Now, so Jesus is teaching things. Remember how we looked at the word things last week? Recall that? Can you recall that? Come on, talk about it. Can you recall that? So he says, these things. So, Jesus is about to teach things from the Old Testament. And he begins to explain in verse 26, ought not Christ to have suffered these things or this and enter his glory. So, what he teaches from the Old Testament are events. He does not teach things. He teaches events. You know, we looked at that word last week, Hebrews 11:1, remember? The word pragma from praso, which is something someone has done, will do. So, he's teaching things. What are the things he taught? Ought not the Christ to have suffered? So he's not doing an expose on getting things. The things he focuses on, things he focuses on in the Old Testament are actions, not material things. The sufferings he mentions. The sufferings. Hallelujah. So, he looks into the mouth of the prophets, as it were. I'm talking about writings now. He looks into their mouth and he picks the things. In other words, the events. In other words, the actions prophesied. So, on the mouth of the prophets, we will not find physical things. Okay? Applicable to us. What's applicable to us are actions of a person. Let me see if you're following what I'm saying here. You get my point? Actions of a person. The themes. Now, notice back up in 26 again. It says, Ought not Christ to have suffered these things in 26 and to enter into his glory? So, he looks at events. In other words, what the Old Testament speaks concerning us today in Christ are events. Events. So the very first event are his sufferings. Glory to God. Then he says, the glory. So the glory. Now you can say the glory that shall follow, brethren. Anything that is hiding your glory. Anything that is hiding your glory will stop it now. You know, you can. Oh my God. So I say, how do you know how to say these things well? Because I've said them before. Anything that is hiding your glory. All glory blockers. No way in Africa you have your terminology. All glory blockers. All the cobwebs. No. Every. So I had one prayer point. Every sugar attracting soldier hands into my life. Father, turn it to salt. One even said, all the rats in my life. Come. A cat. How many of you can talk to your earthly father like that? Just generally, you know. Anyway. So the things, so in other words, that means there's much wealth. Because why did he use glory? The glory, the word glory in the Greek word is the word doxa. It means wealth. Well, it also implies a weight. It means status. And Jesus is not referring to physical things. He's referring to events. He's saying an event is glorious. An event is wealthy. An event. His, her big, you know, status. What event? Now, let's take a short survey and look at that word glory. And, you know, we're looking at faith in Christ and then material things. And then look at what riches in glory. Riches in glory. Riches in glory. Follow this, please. Riches in glory. Now, you know, there's Ephesians 1:18. In Paul's prayer says, the eyes of your understanding mean enlightened, Ephesians 1:18, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Riches. So let's examine the word riches. The word riches used in the epistles, most important, the word riches. Look at Romans 2:4. Riches. Before I go further, recall what we just said now. Whatever we're going to see from the Old Testament will relate with Christ, right? Come on. And then it has to do with actions or events. So look at this. Romans 2:4. How despise thou the riches of what? Of what? Of what? Of what? And forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads thee to repentance. The goodness of God. He's talking about, again, God's redemptive plan. Because it reaches. Reaches. Don't say reaches. So it was wealthy. Then Romans 9:23, riches. Glory to God. That he might make known what? Romans 9:23. That he might make known what? The riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy which he had afore prepared unto glory. So we find goodness, then we find what? What's the second word? We find what? riches of his glory on the vessel of mercy. Goodness, then he has glory. Now, Romans 11, 33. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. He's saying the insight into God is wealthy. Hallelujah. He says his goodness is wealth. It's goodness that brings salvation. He calls it wealth. Now, he's saying here again, insight, his insight, wisdom, the understanding of God in Christ, he calls it what? Wealth. Hallelujah. Are you following this, guys? He calls it wealth. Pay attention. Romans 11, I skipped one. Romans 11 and 12. I think I skipped one. And now if the fall of them be the riches of the world, and the diminishing of them the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? He's still talking about salvation of the Gentiles. And he calls it riches. Glory to God. 2 Corinthians 8. The new covenant does not teach primarily physical things as riches. Not in any way. 2 Corinthians 8 and 2. Are you following this? Now, this is a church in Macedonia that Paul is talking about in verse 1. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. Let's take verse 2 together. How that, come on, let's take it one more time. How that in the great trial of affliction, watch this. That means in their nation, they had poverty. They had economic crisis. He says, come on, go ahead. The abundance of their joy, come on, and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. He says, their attitude to giving is called riches. Now, they didn't have much money in their account, but they had much in their attitude. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know, so far, we have not read riches as physical. Who has seen that? Come on, let me see if you've seen that. We have not read riches as anything physical. Now, come on, go ahead. So, say, the riches of their liberality. So go to Ephesians chapter 1. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Ephesians chapter 1. We read that earlier. Verse 7:1. Let's take verse 7 first. Everybody? Ephesians 1:7. Let's go. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. Hallelujah. See what he calls riches. Forgiveness of sins. Redemption through his blood. If I say, let us have a wealth seminar today. We want to talk about riches and wealth. And I begin to talk about forgiveness of sins. Some guys just walk out. I thought you are going to talk about the wealth of the sinner laid up for the just. I'll take that in the second sentence. I thought you are going to talk about how Christ died. He became poor. Can you imagine? So that I might become rich. You know that oppressive mentality is in our mind. You strip somebody so that you can have money. He became poor. Glory to God. We have the riches of his grace. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We have forgiveness of sins. Isn't that wealthy enough? Glory to God. Verse 18 says, the riches of the glory of his inheritance were in the saints. Glory to God. Chapter 3 and verse 8. Let's take that together. Chapter 3 verse 8. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given that I shall preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable monies, no, riches of Christ. What is that riches? Those riches. To make all men see. What is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world had been hid in God, who created all things were in Christ. Now, do you know something? It has been hid in God, but we had, in fact, in the entire Bible, the richest man ever, history still says he's the richest man ever in the history of the world, was in the Old Testament. And yet these riches were hidden from him. Hallelujah. So guys, the richest man in the Bible is Solomon. It shows how wise you are yourself. Jesus said, you know what? A greater than Solomon is here. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. He says, these riches were hidden from the richest man in the world. Glory to God. You learning something here? That's how the Bible talks about riches. Now, look at it again. Chapter 3, we're still there. And then verse 16. Let's take that together. 16. That he will grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. So those riches lie within. Glory to God. So the riches of the new covenant are spiritual things. Can you see it? Come on, guys, can you see it? They're spiritual things. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So go to Philippians 4:19. My God shall supply all your needs according to what? His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. How in the world do you think those riches are now physical things? What are those riches? He just told you. He said there's a church. Your church, Philippi. He said every time I had a need, you communicated it to me. What? Give it. That communication is the riches of his glory. The fact that a believer can give to another believer is walking in the spirit. In that, see, the attitude is the spiritual riches. So he's saying, my God will supply your need through other believers doing what you have just done. The riches of his glory by Christ Jesus. Because the riches of his glory, they are with the saints. They are unseen. Unseen realities. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So my God will supply them. How does God supply the needs of saints? He supplies the needs of saints by saints giving. And the giving of the saints is called the riches of their liberality. The riches of his glory. Are you still there? Do you understand this? Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Does it, the riches of his glory. Ah, there's so much money in the kingdom. You are drunk. We just read riches now. They are spiritual. Say, I've got the riches of Christ. Thank you, Lord. Look at this. Colossians 1:27. Colossians 1:27. To whom God will make known. Hey, come on, let's take that. Colossians 1:27. In fact, let's start from 26. Colossians, are you there? Let's go. Even the mystery which have been hid from ages and from generations, but is now made to, notice this, from generations, including Abraham, all the wealthy, wealthy people that we are pursuing today, that was hid from them. Hallelujah. Follow this now. Let's take 27 together. To whom God will make known what the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Hallelujah. Can you see this wealth? Can you see this wealth? So what the prophets were speaking were not material things. Hallelujah. Colossians 2:2. Are you following me this morning? Are you following me this morning? Colossians 2:2. Let's take that together. Come on. Let's go. That their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all the riches of the of full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ. He calls wisdom, insight into Christ's riches. Say, I'm rich. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. All right now. 1 Timothy 6:17. We're going to look at that, I guess, in the second service. 1 Timothy 6:17. We're going to examine that. He says, charge them Notice this now. Paul now changes the tone. Charge them that are rich. Is that what he says? Look at it. Charge them that are what? Where? Anytime he mentions this world, it means it involves both believers and unbelievers. Charge them that are rich in this world. Now, we've found riches in Christ. You can see they are different from riches in this world. Can you see? There are rich in this world. Glory to God. Can you see this? Come on, can you see this? Solomon was rich in this world, but didn't have the riches of Christ. Are you there? That are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded, nor trust in what? On what? In what? On certain riches. Is this the same thing we have been reading so far? Huh? No. He calls them uncertain riches. We'll see what it means in the second service. Hebrews 11. Are you with me? Are you with me? Hebrews 11, 26. Remember, we read this last week about Moses. Moses, 26. Let's go. Moses, Hebrews 11, 26. Let's go. Huh? Esteeming the reproach of Christ. That means what Christ suffered for us, he esteemed them what? Greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. Can you see what we're saying? He's saying Christ's sufferings are what? Greater riches than all the houses you could find in Egypt. Remember what we read? The sufferings of Christ and the glory that shall follow. In other words, what is in the Old Testament for you is not Abraham's estate. It's not Isaac's farm. Sometimes you need Isaac's farm. We're coming down in second service. We're going to take out all those things clinically. I promise you, this week and next week, you will never in your life want to be like Solomon again. If you're a true Christian, you will not touch Abraham's money. Never again. Just till next week. Gradually. Hallelujah. Where were we? That means all the wealth, you know, in those days, Egypt was the wealthiest nation in the world. And he's saying, the reproaches of Christ have more value. Glory to God. Than all the pleasures, all the estates in Egypt. Greater. Someone say greater. Come on now, look at this. James 5. James 5 and 2. James is quite a very hard person. He starts from 1. Imagine preaching this in church. God told now, you rich men, weep! I thought you said give. Weep! How? For your mystery shall come upon you. Your riches are corrupted. And your garments are moth-eaten. Hey! Prosperity seminar teaching. He says your riches are corrupt. We'll see why he said that in second sense. Revelation 5:12. Revelation 5:12. Worthy is the Lamb. That was slain to receive power and riches and honor, strength, wisdom, glory, and blessing. Absolutely, we say, worthy is the Lamb to receive riches. And then there's your one car. Are you daft? How can you reason like that? Whatever, pay attention to this. Whatever an unbeliever has is not in Christ. That should be smart enough, right? Whatever a man can have without being a believer, Jesus did not die for it. You know, some of you just went quiet. Is it accepted? Exactly. He said, he has received riches. Now, are those riches physical riches? Huh? Talk to me. Jets? Huh? Islands with lovely houses and yachts? No. That's not what he's talking about. Revelation again. 18:17. For in 1 hour so great riches has come to nothing. And every shipmaster and all the accompanying ships and sailors and as many as are strayed by sea stood afar off. Talking about physical wealth. He said it comes to nothing. So, look at this. You discover that the teaching of riches in Christ are never physical things. I believe that's clear now. Is that clear? Come on, is that clear? Let me see how that's clear to you. They are not physical things. So, quickly look at this. Now, in other words, what is in this glory? What is in the glory of Christ? Is not physical riches at all. I have not said physical riches are against the glory of Christ. Don't get that wrong. But the glory of Christ is not in physical riches. Not at all. In no way. Now, look at the parable of the sower. Matthew 13:22, Mark 4:19, Luke 8:14. Jesus talked about the deceitfulness of riches. Remember that? That means riches, physical wealth, has a way of deceiving you. The deceitfulness of riches. He says, when they enter in, they will choke the word. And that's how some folks, money is why they don't know God. The deceitfulness of riches. Riches have a way of making you deceived. Now let me give you an instance. How many of you collected the kind of salary you never collected before? Maybe raised from home. You know, there's a way you will just be feeling. You'll feel yourself. Sometimes when you get good money, you just feel like not taking public transport. You are so excited you are walking. I am now imagining the kind of miss. And it's just 100K. You think you can sit down with Dangote and Gist? You just feel yourself. And 100K is less than, is it up to $500 anymore? Nope. Just about $400. Something. No, less than $250. Now, 2 Corinthians 8:9 says that Jesus Christ became poor that he might be rich. I know by now you should understand what that means, but for the purpose of re-emphasis. Let's just go over it again. I'm never tired of saying things over and over again. I hope you know that by now. Because some people, you know, the Bible says once the Lord spoke, twice have I heard. I think for many people, twice the Lord spoke, once they've heard. 2 Corinthians 8:9. Not you, just others. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might be rich. Now people have tried to twist this place in so many places and say, no, what he's saying there is this. That though Jesus in his earthly life was rich, but he became poor. Where did he become poor? On the cross. Like he did a business and lost the money, I don't understand. He became poor. He shall become poor. You can explain what it means. Because you read your thoughts there. You know, there's exegesis, there's exegesis. Exegesis is when you want it to say what you want it to say. Brethren, examine yourself. Whether you be in the faith, are you in the faith? what was Paul writing about? He says some people came to you and they are false apostles. And they are saying that we are false apostles. He says, now I preach the gospel to you. Examine, are you not in the faith? Are you not born again? You are the proof of my ministry. That's what he was saying. He's not saying, check your heart. Check your thoughts. Are you sure your heart is right? Rubbish. I tell you, if the verses were not in the Bible, we'll have less heresies today. Because there will be no rhema. You will read everything and you retire. The Bible says, brethren, Paul have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Oga, read the next verse. Why are you so tired? How can one verse make you tired? Read the next one. No eyes have seen. No ears have heard. Brethren, that future. And they say, I have not seen it. I have not seen it. Some songs are just beer parlor songs. Not more than that. Some people think that there's coming a time they will see somebody like this called God. They think they have not seen him now. You can't see him more than you have seen him in Christ. He cannot be reduced to the senses. You better see him quickly. In Christ. Hallelujah. Why did I get here? Alright, now, verse 9. He said he became poor. Now that word he became poor is a very strong word. If you know what it means, you will quickly understand what he's saying. It's the word destitute, weak, afflicted. Two is the word P-T-O-C-H-E-U-O. Weak, beggarly. To become a beggar, literally, someone who has nothing. Now, where that word was taken from is P-T-O-C-H-O, to chose in the Greek. It means worthless, helpless, destitute. Worthless, helpless, destitute. 33 times it's used. The very first time it was mentioned by Jesus was in Matthew's Gospel 5 verse 3. He says, blessed are those who are poor in the spirit. In other words, they don't have anything in the spirit. Come on. Let me ask you a question. The person who is poor in the spirit, can he have money in the account? Come on, talk to me. Can he have money in the account? But he's poor where? In the spirit. You can't use poor only for material things. Glory to God. They're destitute. They have nothing in the spirit. Destitute. Look at Revelation 3:17. Revelation 3:17. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Okay, let's take it together. Because thou said, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing. And knowest not that you are wretched, miserable, pure, poor, blind, and naked. Now, John is describing their spiritual status. Whereas they are talking about their physical status. They say, you actually are wretched. Now, that word wretched here, poor, is it poor physically or poor spiritually? Poor what? Spiritually. So, take that back to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ will mean, charis, what he gave to us. Come on. Come on, are we together? Okay. How that he was what? Even though he was what? Rich. He became poor. How in the world can that be physical? That you through his poverty, it is a you through poverty, you through his poverty. What is his poverty? His poverty is his suffering. Because when he gave up himself to die, he became poor. Bible says he screamed on the cross. Matthew's Gospel 27:46. My God, why have you forsaken? Was he poor then? Had he become poor? Had he become poor when he said that? Yes, he had. 2 Corinthians 5:21. He made him sin for us who knew no sin. When he became sin, was he poor? Was he poor? When all humanity's grievances, or grief, pardon me, and sorrows were laid on Christ, did he become poor? How then in the world did we reason to see his material? He says, he became poor. That you, through his own poverty, his poverty, might be what? You might be rich. Hallelujah. So when Jesus, in Luke's Gospel 24 and 26 and 27, says the sufferings of Christ, can we call it the poverty of Christ? Huh? Can we call it the poverty of Christ? And then the glory that shall follow will now be the riches that follow. Hallelujah. Are you following that? Let me see how that's very clear to you. So it's not a physical prosperity verse. Paul is teaching people to give. And the people he uses as an example to give are physically poor. But they are spiritually rich. So you have been made rich spiritually to give physically. Do you understand that? Is that very clear? Come on guys, is that very clear? Praise the Lord. Alright, good. So, the glory that followed Jesus, can it be things? Huh? If there are things at all, can they be physical things? No. Hallelujah. Alright? So, what was done by Jesus, or what Jesus became, will be either his poverty or his wealth. So his poverty became ours. In other words, we were poor in spirit. And then he took our place. Hallelujah. And then now we are rich. I said now we are rich. We've got the riches of his glory. Hallelujah. That's what we have now. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So go to Luke's Gospel 24. You learning something? Are you learning something? Luke's Gospel 24. Thank you, Jesus. So, Jesus goes to the Old Testament. That's where we started from, remember? He goes to the Old Testament and he's doing a Bible study. He's explaining Abraham. He's explaining Isaac and Jacob. And he's explaining the things concerning himself. And he's not talking about physical things at all. Hallelujah. I mean the Old Testament. He's talking about Abraham. He doesn't mention Abraham's farm. He goes to Solomon. He doesn't talk about Solomon's bank account in the Old Testament. I thought he would say, hey, brethren, forget Solomon. I'm here. How much did he get? He didn't teach all that nonsense that people do today. The Bible says he expounded unto them. Dominion, remember that. He expounded unto them in all of the scriptures. Don't say all of the scriptures. The things. Don't say the things. So the things of Christ in the Old Testament are not material things. Is that clear? The things of Christ in the Old Testament are not material things. Praise God. I've been saying, if people under the Old Testament, if they can enjoy these things, brother, over! Over! Bible says, I told you this, with long life he will satisfy you. Long life is our inheritance in Christ. Say, what is long life? Long. How long is long life? Very long. You don't say, long life in the Bible. You say, under the law, it was 70 years. But before the law, it was 120. So that's the real promise of God. You are just confused. How can someone promise you long life and it now costs you 120? When in the same Bible we have 960. You see, when you want to teach error, there's a way you will smooth talk it. Life If life is promised in the Old Testament, it cannot be physical life. Everybody had physical life. It had to be spiritual life. Eternal life. I explained that to you before, right? Psalm 91. So Jesus goes to the Old Testament. The things concern himself. Now look at John 16. It says the Holy Spirit. John 16. Glory to his name. I like this. Verse 12. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. How be it? John 16. Please quickly go there. John 16. How be it? When he, the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you into what? All of the truth. He will not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, he will speak. He will show you what? Things to come. Now, the things there, are they material or events? Events. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and he will show it unto you. All things the Father hath in mine, therefore I said I unto you, take of mine, and show it unto you. So the Holy Spirit will, pay attention now, he will show us, in a new covenant, things to come, not material things, but events to happen. Events. That will happen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Events. Go chapter, the same chapter, verse 44 to 46. No, sorry, Luke's Gospel 24. 44 to 46. So the ministry of the Spirit, is it to show us material things? To show us what? Spiritual reality. Luke's Gospel 24. I'll read 44 to you. These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you. That all things, glory to God, must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets. And in the Psalms concerning me, look at that. All things in Moses, Old Testament, in David's Psalms, in all the prophets, it is all things. And the things that were to be fulfilled were not physical things. They were spiritual realities. Hallelujah. So, when you hold your Bible, the Old Testament, the things of Christ are they material things? Are they material things? Are they material things? So I say, we have the blessings of the Old Testament plus more things. You are confused. Glory to God. The blessing of the Old Testament is a person. And the person of Jesus. We saw that last week, right? Good. So, what did Jesus say about material things? Did Jesus talk about material things? He did. How did he talk about it? Matthew's Gospel chapter 7. Now I'm going to give you an assignment. Matthew's Gospel 7. Matthew's Gospel 7. Verse 9. Now, start from 7. He says, ask and it shall be given unto you, or given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Then he says, for everyone that asks receives, and he that finds, and to him that knocks it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you, whom if his son asks bread, shall he give him a stone? If he asks a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children. How much shall your Father, which in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? Now, what's he talking about? Is this about asking for things? Is that verse for asking for material things? My mom is just asking you. Is that verse asking about material things? Now, if you go back to the pretext of it, and the post-text of it, nothing suggests material things. I have not said it's not, but I'm just asking you to look at it well. Is he talking about material things? Now, look at Luke's account of the same thing. Luke's Gospel 11. I hope you are following this. I want you to go home and think about this. Luke's Gospel 11. The same theme, same story. Verse 10. For everyone that asks receives, and he that seeks finds, and to him that knocks it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, verse 11, Luke's Gospel 11, he gives him a stone. Will he give him a stone? And if he asks a fish, will he give him a serpent? And if he asks an egg, will he give him a scorpion? Let's take verse 11 together, the 13 together, buddy. Evil. Know how to give good gifts unto your children. How much more shall Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask? You know, Matthew was not specific. But Luke was specific. How much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit? So I pointed that out so that you can think about it. Praise God. You know, I was sitting in a class on Friday here in our school here, and I said this. What a statement meant years ago cannot change today. A text of scripture can never mean what it never meant. Okay? A text of scripture can never mean what it never meant. If a scripture is not for prayer, it can never be for prayer. If a scripture is not for wealth, it can never be for wealth. No matter how you read it, no matter how you desire for it to be. Is that clear? A text of scripture can never mean what it never meant. That means whatever it meant when it was said will remain what it will mean today. Let me see how you understand that very well. So I want you to find out, what was that statement for? Is that statement for praying about things or asking for things or not? Find out. Yes. Go to Mark's Gospel 6. Mark's Gospel 6. We're going to kind of look at this one. Mark's Gospel 6. Now, if you were sleeping before, wake up. It's an important place, and I want you to be alive. Mark's Gospel 6. We're going to read from 19 to 33. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth. You're kind of speaking against having savings. Kind of funny. Where moth and rust don't corrupt, and where thieves break through, I like that word, break through, and steal. That's where you find breakthrough in the four Gospels. Break, it says thieves break through and they steal. So I say thieves break through and steal. Say one more time, say thieves break through and steal. I never said it, Jesus did. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through, nor steal. Kind of funny. He's saying to you, lay up not treasures upon the earth. Now he's not saying you don't have a bank account. Alright? But lay up not treasures upon the earth. Matthew's Gospel 6. 21, let's take 21 together. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. It's kind of funny when you read something about your bank in the paper. You call your account officer. Excuse me, I read something. Please confirm. You know, where your treasure is, your heart will be there. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine heart be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? He says, if the light that is in you be darkness. You know, that's a figure of speech. That the way you see is in darkness. So he's saying, there is a way you to see money. That you can see money with darkness. Jesus is about to teach us true riches. He says, if you have a single, then your whole body will be full of light. In other words, how you see is going to affect how you live. Come on. Are you following this? Guys, are you following this? Look at 24. No man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. You cannot serve God and mammon. 25. Behold the powers of the air, for they sow not. That's very key. Some say they sow not. I guess they've not attended some churches, they'll have been sowing. But then they deal with them. Neither do they reap. Wow. Nor gather into bands. Yet. Hallelujah. Your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much better than they? Now, I'm going somewhere, but let me just quote verse 33 and say, seek ye first the kingdom of God's righteousness, and all the things shall be added unto you. And if you say, well, now years ago, as a preacher, I used to call this verse my own prosperity scripture. That's me. And I got it from Gloria Copeland. Okay? She shouldn't feel funny about this because she preaches it. And I got it from her. And I'm grateful I did. That's all. And now it's not our fault because I had my brains too. I could have checked myself. And then I said, as I keep serving the Lord, I'm preaching the gospel, I won't seek things, but I will seek the kingdom. But I know that I seek the kingdom, the things will come. Am I not seeking the things? It's just pretense. You understand? You are not toasting the babe directly. Oh, you know what I'm talking about, guys, here. You are talking to the zonal pastor and then the brother to talk to this person on your behalf. I didn't ask directly because I don't want to break protocol. I'm not seeking this, but seeking the kingdom, so the kingdom should seek the things, break it down. So one day I sat there and I said, I'm being dishonest. If you are seeking the kingdom because you believe the kingdom will give you things, you are actually seeking things. I hope you are paying attention. So let's go back to where we are coming from. So we will read it in here, then you will be at peace. For which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? This is a verse for Pastor Ebukun, Yola, Sister Titi, and all those encouraging verses. it's just encouraging, really, that stop trying. No, they even had shoes. There are some shoes today that take the thought for you. Why take you thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not. Watch this. They toil not. Neither do they spin. Yet I say unto you. Ha! Jesus is. He says, even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. Brothers, listen to this. You can't tell me the lilies of the field did not dress as fine as Solomon. You can't tell me. Jesus here begins to put a question mark on Solomon's wealth. Don't worry yourself, we'll get there. Just Solomon. You think Jesus is saying that the lilies of the field are finer than Solomon's clothes? Abba. Is it not from the plants they take to make clothes? That's not it. That's not what he's talking about. Watch this. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, who today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? What What shall we drink? Wherewith shall we be clothed? Now, let's take it small, small. Don't rush up in the name of God. The omnipotent, the merciful, the beneficial. For, after all these things, do the Gentiles seek. Are you following? For your Father knoweth that you have need of these things. Hallelujah. Follow this. He says he knows you want them. He knows you want them. The Father knows you want those things. So those things are legitimate. So not in your mind should you think that Jesus is teaching against material things. No. Remember how we started. Lay up not treasures for yourself on earth. Lay up treasures in heaven where thieves cannot break through and steal it. Or moth will corrupt it. They don't. Pay attention. In other words, he's saying your treasures should be eternal. He says, whatever you seek after is your treasure. He didn't say whatever you want is your treasure. You want clothes. You want food. You want drink. But let them not be your treasure. Let me see if you're following that. Are you following this? They are legitimate wants. But they must not be your treasure. He says, you cannot serve God. Notice the word, serve. So whatever you serve, that is whatever you seek after, becomes your master. Not your wants, but whatever you seek after. Now, pay attention to this. He's saying to you, if you seek after things, then you are serving Mammon. Are you following that? That's why he said, the lilies of the field, they don't seek all those things that get to them. To the breast of the air, they don't seek it. Not that they don't want it. Because if they don't get it, they will die. Praise God. Are you following this? Good. Now, your Father knows you have need of these things. Recall where he started from. He said, which of you by taking thought, that's where you get the word worry from. Worry, anxiety. Anxiety. Many people, the reason why they are buying up property is anxiety. Why are you buying many houses? Why are you keeping so much money? Why? You are, something is dictating it to you. Hallelujah. You are seeking it. Thank you very much. He says, why? He says, Solomon in all of his glory. You know, let me quickly say this, because I'm going to explain this in a second. Let me ask you, was Solomon's wealth eternal? He did not even get to the third generation. His entire wealth, Abraham's wealth, did not get, it was finishing with Isaac. I'll show you something about that. Isaac did what his dad did exactly. He gave his wife the same thing. He lied about his wife. It's the same thing his daddy did. To make money. Isaac sold in that land. What did he do before he sold? Was he not lying? Well, why he did? That's why Jesus said, don't seek. When you begin to seek like Abraham and Isaac, you begin to lie. You are quiet. Abraham's family. Are you still there? Follow this. Hope we are on the same page.
Are those needs legitimate?
Yes.
Don't forget the legitimate things he said though. Clothes, drink, not jet. Don't say, they are legitimate things, Pastor. I want to have a spacecraft. Mm-mm-mm-mm. Do you notice that when Jesus and Paul taught the same thing, they mentioned the same thing. Clothes, food, and raiment. That means every other thing is an extra. This is an anti-prosperity preacher. I know. Every other thing is an extra. Every other thing is what? An extra. Who's it? All right. Am I passing this across? Yeah, but you're quiet. Look at this now. He says, take no thought. So, he says, all these things the Gentiles seek. Not that the Gentiles want, but they seek. Your Father knows you have need. But you, praise God, you seek first. The word is proton. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Praise God. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Did He say to you that the lilies of the field and the birds, were they seeking? No. They were not doing anything. They were clothed. They were fed. He said, all these things that the Gentiles seek. Now the word seek is the word epizeteo. E-P-I-Z-E-T-E-O. E-P-I-Z-E-T-E-O. 13 times it's used in New Testament Greek. Now, I will focus on how it was used in Matthew. Matthew 12:39. Very funny. An evil and adulterous generation seeks after a sign. Not positive, is it? Matthew 16:4. They seek after a sign. A wicked and adulterous generation seeks after a sign. It's an unbridled desire. That is, you already have the Christ and you are seeking for something. They seek after. Uncontrolled appetites. He said, look, the Gentiles, the ethnos there, those who are other nations, and Jesus speaks there, you know, he speaks paradoxically. He says there's no control on how they go after things. He said, but you, if you are going to have an uncontrolled habit, let it be the things of God. Hallelujah. If something will be such that you have no control, you just go all the way for it. It should be what? The kingdom of God and His righteousness. Now, the way it is in the Greek, because this is vital, he already says you have need of these things. You have need. You have want. These are things you want. You see that word in Luke's Gospel 11:8. They're necessary things. Luke's Gospel 12:30. Romans 16:2. Luke's Gospel 11:8. Luke's Gospel 12:30. Romans 16:2. Then 2 Corinthians 3:1. Here's the word kreso. It means want. Want. Now, he mentions, he talks about two different things. What you want and what you seek. What is needed and what you go after. What you go after. So, how does he describe this epizeteo? He describes it, pay attention, as having thoughts. I mean, taking thoughts. Anxiety. Jesus is teaching against anxiety and worry. First and foremost. He says, when there's anxiety and worry, money becomes your master. Whatever is in your desire becomes your thought pattern. It dominates your thinking. And he says, no. Let the kingdom of God dominate your thinking. Not for things. Praise God. Let the kingdom of God, because he's talking about loving God and mammon. He says you cannot love both. You will hate one and love the other. That word there's agape. To esteem. So Jesus is teaching here that the man in Christ will esteem lightly earthly things because he knows that they are not eternal. He knows earthly things are not true riches. So if he has them, and when he doesn't have them, nothing changes in his attitude. Do you understand that? When he has them, and when he doesn't have them, there is no change in his attitude. If lack of money or the possession of it will alter your attitude, it shows your spiritual life. It will have not a single impact on who you are. Not a single impact on who you are. You know, some folks can walk in this service and you know that they have money. They come and sit in front and say, young girl, to an usher, you don't, young girl, don't worry, I'm fine here. I'll be leaving the service not too long. Just chill. Chill. God is here. You will not have heaven and earth is here. This is a young girl. I'll be staying outside for a minute. It shows the kind of, that's your money. The money has entered your heart. You are talking like it. Solomon says, the rich man answers roughly. Why are you talking to me? Do you know who is me? They talk like that because they are seeking things. Are you some preachers make mouths? Our ministry has gotten to the point that there is nothing we cannot do. See. What is this? Have you ever seen Jesus boast about material things before? Not one verse. Not any of the apostles. How is he sinking? Now look at this. Imagine if you stop verse 33 at righteousness. He says, the unrighteous, they seek things. Seek means things dominate their minds. Now, he's not talking about whether they are poor or rich. You get it. It doesn't have to do whether you have money or you don't. Now, he says, pay attention here. You take no thought. We're stopping. We're coming back to verse 3. He says, you take no thought. Take no thought. You take no thought. Now, these unrighteous folks, put your hands up. Go to Matthew 5. Matthew 5. Verse 44. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Matthew 5, just the previous chapter. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you. I want to take verse 45 together. But let's go. 45, let's go. That you may be the children of your Father, which is in heaven. Come on, let's take it one more time. That you may be the children of your Father, which is in heaven. Who makes his sun to rise on the evil and the good. And sends rain on the... So... The just and the unjust have access to natural resources the same way. So what Jesus is teaching is not possession. It's pursuance. It's what we pursue that differs. Whether you are just or unjust, does that change? Wait for this. This means that material blessings are available unto everybody. Is that true? Is that true? God's blessings does not discriminate materially. I'm talking about material things in the earth that have been provided by God. They do not, there's no discrimination. Somebody say, well, but in the children of Israel, they were in Goshen. Were they believers? You know, some of them in the children of Israel have become Christians. They're not believers. And were they the only people in the earth that had Goshen? It was just between them and Egypt. There were other nations in the earth that had more than Goshen. Praise God. Follow this now. He says, he makes, now look at the word, he feeds the birds. Clothes the lilies. Now, is he saying that physically he takes food to them? No. He has made it available. You know, you can catch a bird and keep it from being fed. Have you? You can take a plant and cut it. But the truth is that before you did that, God has made resources available unto all. The resources have been available, made by God, from Genesis 1. Hallelujah, and 2. So he's saying he feeds them. When he said he feeds them, he's not talking about an everyday feeding. He's saying that he has made it available to everyone. Hallelujah. We said last week, Adam was once the richest man in the world. You couldn't have been richer than Adam. And through Adam, sin entered the world. So the first richest man in the world was a sinner. How about that? The second richest man in the world was Noah. Was a drunkard. Praise God. Now, did Jesus ever call owning things evil? No. Did he? He said, seeking. Unbridled desire. The same thing that happened to Solomon. Uncontrolled appetite. Your mind is full of ambition. You want to own so many things. You want to have 20 cars. So that you take one out per day. There's a Monday car. A Tuesday car. A Wednesday car. There's special locations. Then there's a car that is always covered. And there are people out there who don't have anywhere. Anywhere to stay. And you have cars in your garage. And you see the blessings of God. You know, it's good to walk with God. This boy loves God. This boy, he loves God. Someone said that. He said, God told me, what are you giving me? 1 million? Stupid boy. Is that what you give your governors? So I changed it to 5 million. He said, good boy. I said, this boy loves God. And the church members heard that and they asked just to go and put down money. This boy loves God. God said, 1 million, me 1 million? Is it time to pay a bill? Rubbish. Just manipulation. Jesus is saying, wealth or the absence of it does not define a man. It's what he seeks that defines him. Hallelujah. Good. So go to Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Don't seek for things. Seek ye first the kingdom and his righteousness. Imagine if you put a full stop there. Then you say, and this thing shall be added unto you. Take no thought for the morrow. That is, you don't have to worry for those things to be added unto you. That's what he's saying. He's not saying, seek it for the kingdom, then when you seek it, it will be added. No. He had told you, take no thought that can you have to yourself by worrying? Do not worry. That the fish, the lilies of the field, and then the birds of the air, they don't worry, and they get these things. Rather seek the kingdom of God. That means whether you seek the kingdom of God or not, you will get those things. Hallelujah. Do you understand that? Whether you seek the kingdom or not, you will get those things. So your own attention should be to seek the kingdom. He says, you see, verse 4, he says, look, for the mouth shall take thought of the things of itself. Glory to God. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Hallelujah. We don't seek things. Things don't control us. When you see people who are spiritual, it will take you a long time to know that they are wealthy. They will say, they will, you know, some people and they just bring out their phone. Undergraduate too. To show you I'm a big boy. He's seeking things. The thing has entered his head. It talks that way. If he comes to church and someone sits down, looks at the person, slippers, said, can I have a space there? Usher, please. Said, this is where I stay. Excuse me. Can I have a space there? He's seeking things. He has become a slave of money. Something that will not last. Your servant is temporary. He can even, from if a breakthrough happens, it will be taken from you. Is that not true? A man in this country, he boasted. Remember 1987? They said, can you ever lose money? He laughed. He said, me? He said, my money is eternal. In this country. He said, if spend treatment, say if he enters my money, it will die there. The man's kids are paying debts all over Lagos. I'm asking, where is Solomon's world today? Do you know any of his children? Do you know any of his family members? If Abraham, Jacob, he has to go and do the employee. And he was doing all sorts again, that guy. Your riches are eternal. You know what? You know what stayed eternally? Abraham's faith in Christ. So what remained in the epistles was not his money. It was the greater riches in Christ. Are you following this? Thank you, Lord Jesus. Look at Jesus and his commentaries. Jesus did not preach against material wealth. He never did. So material wealth is not the problem. It's the pursuit of it. Look at this. In Matthew's gospel, let me run through this. You know, the wise men brought wealth to Jesus. They brought sacks and sacks and sacks to Jesus. They were wealthy things. And it was used by his parents. And they said they were spoken to of God. They were spoken to of God to come to him. So it wasn't the problem. But look, notice this. In Luke's gospel 12, he now talks about a fool. Ask your neighbor, I say, I hope you're not a fool. Come on, ask your neighbor, say, I hope you're not a fool. He said, this man, verse 16, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. He thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruit. Can you imagine? He said, the way we run now, I don't even think how many cars I have. You find Christians say that today. I can't even imagine how many suits that I have. Today, you know, they even told me I have a land in Asokoro. I can't even know. So they brother, I can see the glory of God. No? You are shining. Or you are spreading. You know, that's the latest one I heard now. It's spreading. Kingdom take over. He said, what this will I do? I will pull down my bands. I will pull down my bands and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. This is like expanding your business. Right? I mean, is that not it? And I will say to my soul, so, idiot, thou hast much goods, laid up for many years. Take, then eat, drink, and be merry. And God shall say unto him, fool, this night your soul shall be required of you. Then whose shall those things be? How many of you have parents that are late? Late means dead. No, they came late to the service. Have you described as the when there's a car, your dad will have flogged you. What are you doing in that corner? My father. No. I know that. You know that eventually, maybe it's you that sold the car to somebody. You know, sometimes we should just learn from life experiences. The houses that you can't enter your father's room is like the holiest of all in the house. The man will now die. Then anybody just enter. That's what Jesus is saying. He's a fool. Say, who? You cannot have control over things. You can only have as much. That is, when you are gone, he says, you can't even know. Hallelujah. Look at what he says. Let's take 21 together. So is he that lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. You know, this was the background in Luke's account of where he now said, take no thought for your life. Hallelujah. The man was expanding, yep, but he was expanding for himself. He was doing everything for himself. The way God wants us to acquire wealth. The minute you begin to acquire wealth for yourself. For yourself. Not for others. You have started seeking things. He said, you are not rich toward God. Oh. As I praise the Lord. You are not rich toward God. You are rich to yourself. In Luke 16. Jesus mentioned also, I'll just run through that. Verse 9. Make to yourselves friends of mammon of unrighteousness. You make, pardon me. That when you fail, you may receive you into everlasting habitation. So he's saying people try to secure a future for themselves by making for themselves friends with unrighteous mammon. He calls unrighteous mammon. Quickly look at Luke 18. In Luke 18. The young rich ruler. Young rich ruler. The man boasted. Yeah, good master. Verse 18, he knows how to toast. What shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said, why call me good? None is good. Save one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Hold on thy father and thy mother. The guy said, all these have I kept from my youth up. And when Jesus heard those things, he said unto him, you lack one thing. Sell all that you have and distribute unto the poor. Thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come and follow. So the treasures of what we have is when we give. Not to give in the church for debt, for multiplier or common grace anointing. No. When you meet someone's needs, say you are laying up treasure. Hallelujah. And the man was so sorrowful, for he was very rich. You know, you can easily say this when all you have is 5K. Say, Lord, I'll do it. I'll do it. Lord, I love you. When you become 500K, Lord. 5 million, Lord. 50 million, Lord. 100 million, Lord. Hallelujah. Because you built your life on things. Some folks who come to church say, I lost my job. I shouldn't have. What about prayer meeting? Prayer? Also, leave me for now. I'm settling some things. You're serving mammon. You're serving mammon. That's what's going on. You're serving mammon. Paul says, I'm a master of all circumstances. Hallelujah. I have learned to abase and to abound. In every situation, I am dependent of the circumstance. Hallelujah. That's what Christ brought to us. Listen to me. Nobody, this is how I say to folks, you don't have to be born again to want to have money. Just be a human being, you want to have money. When you go to school, for example, and your I don't know what primary school you attended. I hope it's not the one they put water in the middle of the class and they go with you. But you take lunch box and then you just take a king biscuit. And nobody brings lunch back and all that. And maybe then it's a tree top. And you look. You don't need a preaching to want to have tree top or lunch back. You get it? It's an inclination for us to want to feed, for us to want to clothe. But then when we come into Christ, we set priorities. Hallelujah. You follow what I'm saying here? Pastor teaching people to marry is nonsense. Even kids do husband and wife. So it's nonsense. It's not, that's not your ministry. You've not done it before. Huh? You want to lie? Daddy and mommy. You begin to pray and say, Kule! Are you so small voice? But when you, what we teach in church, we talk to the married. Okay? Not to get married. They're already married. You don't need the Bible to get married. Go to marriage registries. It's not priest that conducts it there. Or high priest or low priest. It's just a normal thing in life. But when we come into Christ, you begin to love your wife as Christ has loved the church. Paul didn't teach marriage. He was talking to the married. Hallelujah. Marriage is not a revelation in Christ. It's a natural, it's something everybody knows. Depending on what culture you are, self. Praise God. It's not a series. What are you wasting your time? How many scriptures do you want to quote? Hallelujah. Are you still there? Watch this now. The man went away. And Jesus said, how happy that rich, that those that have riches enter into the kingdom of God. It's easier for a camel to pass through the needle's eye than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And if they hear, who then can be saved? They spoke their hearts. Said, don't worry. The things that are impossible with men are possible with God. That means they will enter. Praise God. Praise God. The next verse, chapter, Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was a very little man. Not just that, he had money. He was a wealthy man. The Bible says in verse 2, he was rich. Rich. He was rich. And Jesus went to his house. Jesus did not treat him special. He went to his house. This was a man, everybody rejected, went to his house. He said, today, salvation. You know, some guys will have gone to Zacchaeus and say, I glorify God for your life. You know, you are an example of what I've been telling my church members. You know, and they are preaching in church. Jesus was preaching one of these sermons. Zacchaeus said, who says today? Bill Gates said on the pulpit. So Zacchaeus even said that there are four principles for wealth acquisition. Number one, set your goals. Number two, project it. Number three, assert it. Number four, get it. How many know Zacchaeus? Zacchaeus, the CEO of Zacchaeus Corporation. Yeah. I was watching the man the other day. He's preaching in the church. Yeah, people are bold though. He said, today salvation has come to your house. That means the man was rich before salvation. It has nothing. Salvation has nothing to do with whether you have money or not. But salvation now brings you off the control of money. You now control money. Whether you have it or you don't have it. Are you following what we're saying here? Follow this. In Luke 7, Jesus even had a woman who was a prostitute. In other words, she got her money from sleeping with men. And she brought the proceeds, ointment, and put on it. Johnny said, the offering has spoiled all. He didn't do that. He didn't judge her. Praise God. Praise God. Let me leave that for another day. She brought the deed to Jesus. He said, for her to bring it and pour everything. That means the thing had lost control. Hallelujah. He had lost control. She wasted it. She didn't put it in the offering bag. I know you didn't notice that. She wasted it. Hallelujah. She wasted it. That means everything she acquired when she saw Jesus, things lost meaning to her. Glory to God. And what did she go with? Forgiveness of sins. The greater riches. Hallelujah. Are you following what I'm saying? I like what Dr. Damina says. He says, when you see Jesus, things will lose their hold over you. The songwriter says, when all things that surround you become shadows, in the light of you, hallelujah, in the light of you, glory to God. That's why people that go to church for things, they have not met Him. If you meet Him, you prioritize things. Hallelujah. The knowledge of Jesus makes you, I'm not saying that just makes you full of joy. You are just full of joy. That fellowship with the Father. Hallelujah. Thank God for Jesus. Hallelujah. Your love is better than life. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. So, Jesus made commentaries. He says, go back to Matthew 6, I'm closing here. Matthew 6. Are you learning something? Is having things bad or evil? No. Does having things or not having, does it determine whether you are in faith or not? No. No, nothing. Is what has you. What holds you. What holds you? Some of you came in late to church today because you want to go and see someone, and you will come to the service, and in 1.5 hours, you are looking at your watch, and you run out. But you will sit somewhere. Someone say, come and collect 1 million naira. And you will not sleep overnight. You do VG. By 4 o'clock, you are BRT parked before the buses arrive. They say, we're not moving on to 8. I say, no problem. I'm the first in this queue. Whatever time. When I was in school, someone told me to come and collect money. I didn't have money. And I walked for 6.5 hours. No, 8.5 hours. And I was walking. I was praying in tongues. So I was walking. I got there and she was not there. So I had to walk back. So how would it be? If you ask me to walk to church, I say, why is your church that far? That means I am now a lover of what? Money. Some people say, I can't go to that church, it's too far. Did you attend the nearest school? I'm asking you, when you went to the primary school, was it those who say, at the back of your house? Was that where you attended? Some of you will even go and borrow money to go to school in the United Kingdom. Then the church say, I will have come to your church, but I stay on the island. I'm a sailor. But you know, next time. Okay, thank you, eh? Bless grace. Something has taken over your mind. You leave Ikorodu for Aja every day. To chase money. You now choose the church that is just adjacent to your house. See? You know, they also worship God. But the carpenter nearby is also working. Why are you not a carpenter there? Nothing wrong in being a carpenter. I'm just saying that. Why are you not doing that? Because you love things. You make friends based on things.
Who are your friends? Are your friends only people who have money? It shows what rules you. What rules you? All your friends have cars. Why? I don't say, but that's my sphere of influence. You know all this nonsense we're saying to sphere? Say, what you want to attain, you detain so that you can obtain. Mammon. Ask your neighbor, say, do you serve Mammon? You know, Jesus never compared God to fornication. He didn't compare serving God to any other thing but money. Money is a good servant but a horrible master. Anyone money controls can't serve God. You can't serve God. Jesus said you will love one and hate the other. People are married to women today because of money. I heard a man say this, a pastor. He said, but they didn't know I was listening to them. They were in a room. And then he said, I know she's not fine. But I know her father has connection. A pastor. She's not fine. And he will come on Facebook today. It was years ago. And say, she's the queen of my world. Of course. Have you played chess before? You know the queen? Okay, let me leave that for now. Shame on you. I know pastors that married women because they had American passports. And I asked one, I said, what kind of nonsense is that? He said, you know, it's for my international ministry. My international ministry. You know, I will need to go to the abroad. Money is ruling you. And sometimes, the same person might now die. So all your treasures are gone. It's not true. My faith is built on nothing else but Jesus Christ and His righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest friend. Only trust in Him alone. Hallelujah. Jesus said, Matthew's Gospel 6, you will hate one and love the other. The word there is agapaho, to esteem. To esteem. The word mammon is from the Greek word mammonas. It means possession, money, and property. Do you esteem possession, money, and property? Anything you have that you cannot give, you are serving it. Anything you have that you cannot give. God provides for all people. That's why you see that Saudi Arabia is wealthy. God provides for everybody. Jesus' first miracle in John 2 was not in the marriage supper of the Lamb. It was in a normal wedding. And He was not the one getting married. Do you know that He made wine for them? Wine. Someone says it's fruit wine. No. It's five alive. Nonsense. It's wine. I said it to you many times too. Alcohol is not touch not in the Bible. In fact, the wine used for the Passover was alcohol. Praise God. I thought that seriously before, and you call yourself a Christian, isn't? Then if you don't know what is there, just let them be Christian. I need to listen to it. You need the information before you leave this place and go and take beer. Listen to it first. Say thank you, Pastor. I love you. Go and listen to the series first. Hallelujah. What do we esteem? Wasting God's word. He made provision in Luke 5. He made provision for Peter. Peter was a sinner. He said, cast your net to the side. That means God can give direction to the unbeliever as touching finances. Hallelujah. He said, cast your net to this side. Peter was not a Christian. And he had money. Peter said, depart from me, I'm a sinner. He said, follow me, I'll make you a fisher of men. In John 6, when he multiplied 5 loaves and 2 fish, were they all speaking in tongues? In fact, when he began to preach the word, including the small boy, they all left. The little boy. The little boy that gave left. Hallelujah. Yet that means they resisted the word of eternal life, but he provided for them. Provision is not spirituality. He says nothing about your spirituality. Same in John 21. God is not, prosperity is not about things. Even though you have things, prosperity is an attitude. An attitude you have about things. Hallelujah. That's why today, the way people give, if you tell them, brethren, we want to give to people who have not eaten since yesterday, they say, you show them a video, say, things are happening. People are suffering in this country. Then you see, then he looks into his pocket. This is 1K, say, go for Bibati. 500, no. 200, this is 59. Hallelujah. We should care for the poor. The poor amongst us. He puts the money. Because preachers know people are greedy, they now come out. 24-hour miracle. Which human being? You know, it's just... Okay. 24-hour miracle. See, death breaking. I went for a meeting one day, 2001. And my friend was the pastor of the church. So he asked me to come out and lay hands on those who had debts, that we should break the debts. So they all came. And I went them, go pay your debts, go pay your debts. Pay your debts. So Pastor said, what are you telling them? I said, the word, God's word. Ha! Go and pay your debts. So I said, brethren, when I was coming here, Jesus appeared to me in the taxi. Sorry, in the bus. Sorry, in the... He said to me, I've given you a special glue. When people are having financial problems, and they can put it into your ministry. Bulldozer. Anointing. The Bible says, the person that wants to die has met the one that wants to kill him. You now take your money. We told somebody has need. You formed. Then the pastor will not tell you, I'm already wealthy. God has blessed me. But it's for your sake. Sow into my ministry. Somebody has need. You get 50 naira. Somebody does not have need. You give him 1 million. Why? Because it says that when you give him 1 million, you will have 100 million. Mammon is your Lord and Savior. Stand to your feet and give God praise. Worship the Father. Bless him. Give him all the glory.